This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Good morning, everyone. On another beautiful Saturday, how many of these have we had in a row? Bob Pompiani with you. And for the next couple of hours, Seth Davis is behind the glass. And he will be taking your phone calls at 412-928-9370. Our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. How about Ireland Contracting? Want a new roof? Call them. And you can see our Ireland Contracting nightly sports call every night, KDK Plus, and most nights here on 93.7 The Fan. 412-928-9370, another busy weekend as we get set for not only Pitt later today against Virginia, what they hope is a bounce-back game from a terrible effort at SMU, but also the Steelers. A bye week coming back to the Washington Commanders and a very interesting gauntlet of games over the next several weeks. They are currently sitting in the driver's seat at 6 wins, 2 losses, one of the best point differentials in the NFL, very stingy defense, one of the best, only allowing them 119 points for the year. That's it. The Ravens, by virtue of their win the other night over the Bengals, are in second place at 7-3. The Bengals, we're going to talk about that game at 4-6. The Browns at 2-7. Steelers come back off a bye, seemingly healthier than ever. Going to get Zach Frazier back. Going to get Cordero Patterson back to add to the backfield. Mike Williams brought in for a fifth-round pick from the Jets. I'd like to know how you feel about that at 412-928-9370. Preston Smith to add to the outside linebacker group. And that's interesting to me in that, you know, Nick Herbig, I think, is still going to be out with an injury. And at some point, you're going to start wondering about that. He's making progress, I think. But Preston Smith was an additional add-on. Again, a very reasonable price. And the guy who's had 6 seasons over 8 sacks per year with the Green Bay Packers. So they got deeper at 2 positions. And I think you'd like the moves. Short of big names coming here, big salaries, Mike Williams is a guy who should be motivated. He fell out of favor in New York. They brought in Devontae Adams, and he fell down the depth chart. So he could come here rejuvenated, and you might remember his best years in Los Angeles with the Chargers, man. He was very good at what he did. So we'll see how that affects the Steelers, and it should make things a little bit more interesting for Russell Wilson in his third start against the Commanders team that's very good. One of the surprises of the league. In fact, I would consider them the surprise of the league, only because they were coming in with question marks and new head coach and Dan Quinn. Daniel Snyder sells the team, and I'm sure he's having a really rough year after he did. They're 7-2 on top of their division. And they probably have the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year on their team, of course, in Jaden Daniels. And what he's done has been remarkable. As a 71% completion percentage person his first year on the job, he doesn't make mistakes. The one thing about the Commanders, they do not turn the ball over, period. 3 all year. And they're one of the tops in the leagues in doing that. They're very good with the football. The Steelers have certainly prioritized that, and I think it's helped the Steelers as well. So two teams that, and you may be surprised to know, that both rely on the run, not just the Steelers, but they rely on the run as well. And you know, they're a team that puts up about 152 yards per game. They rush for 164. The one thing even though they rush it well against the Giants, 164, they also give up a lot of yards on the ground. And that's where I think the Steelers will have an advantage here. If they can execute their game plan, Washington is one of the worst at stopping teams on the ground. They're 29th out of 32 teams. So the Steelers will have an advantage defensively in this game, especially going against a rookie quarterback where Mike Tomlin is 25-6. But I will tell you this, Jaden Daniels this year is undefeated when he is a favorite. So that's interesting to me that he knows how to win these games at such a young age. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's done a very good job in making life easy for him with, again, a pretty good run game. And he's been good about coming up with big plays at big times. A lot of success there for a rookie quarterback. You wouldn't expect that right off the bat, given how tough it is for rookie quarterbacks. But he's defied that. He got injured a few weeks ago. He's back. They got a Hail Mary win against the Bears. However, the Steelers, I think, are in position to do well in this game. They're underdogs. I think they like that role. And they'll go into that game motivated, knowing that the second part of this season is going to be very challenging. All the AFC North games coming at you. They haven't played any yet. They will, and they got a lot of them coming up. So 412-928-9370, want to hear from you about your thought and state of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I also want to remind you that the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And then Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We'll get into the Steelers. We'll talk about the Bengals. And looking at that game, the Bengals-Ravens the other night, I came away thinking the Steelers are in a very good position. And here's why. Those two teams can rack up points. There's no question about it. And you're going to have to match them from time to time, point for point. But both of those teams have very shaggy defenses. And I think both of those teams can be scored upon. Conversely, I think the Steelers can neutralize some of what these teams who have high offenses can bring. They have ways of shutting you down, not allowing it to result in touchdowns. You settle for field goals a lot against the Steelers. Their defense, as I said, has given up only 119 points. It's one of the best totals in the NFL, unscored upon in the third quarter. How about that? The Steelers come out of the second half, and they do a really good job of keeping teams at bay. So that's a positive thing for them, and I think they have an advantage over the Ravens and the Bengals. But I'd like to also know what you thought of the decision at the end of the game by Zach Taylor, who decided to go for a win in the dagger on a two-point conversion when he could have kicked the extra point, lengthened the game, and gone to overtime. That's one of those 50-50 deals. If you believe you can do it, I guess go for it. But they already, had five losses. They couldn't afford a sixth, and that sealed it really quickly. So a lot of stuff. There were penalties all over the place called. There were a lot of calls non-called. The officiating has been just bad, I think, overall in the NFL. They got a problem. They got to fix it. And they also have to make life a little easier for these officials because there's too much in the rule book for them. Way too much. Some of this stuff is ticky-tacky stuff. Some isn't. But I think they have to do something a little different. Now, as far as the Bengals are concerned, they won a game last night in Washington. I want to hear your thoughts about where they are and can they get back into this thing after falling now to 6-8-2 after that win last night. It's a good win considering they lost the other night in Carolina. I thought they were the better team, but I also thought they were very sloppy, specifically Erik Karlsson. Goaltending was average. They put in Blomqvist last night. He was good. Tristan Jarry has been lighting up in Wilkes-Barre. When is it time to bring him up, and how much of this season is still predicated on his ability and goal? 412-928-9370. Let's get to the lines. That's why I'm here to take your calls. Let's talk. Bill in Uniontown is first up tonight. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'd like to ask you two questions. Do you think the bye week helped the Steelers, or did you think it would hurt them? And can the Steelers beat the Washington Commanders?
Thanks, Bill, for the call. I think, yes, the bye week helps every team, especially one that comes in the halfway part of the season. And that's what this did for them. It enabled, I said, Zach Frazier. It enabled Nick Herbig to get better. I'm not sure if he's better to the point where he's going to play. Cordarrelle Patterson and just all the other guys who've been dealing with different things. So it's a good time for the bye week. No coach will tell you it's a bad time, but for them, halfway through the season is good. Now, the Ravens played on Thursday, so you're going to have some extra days off coming into their game next week when Baltimore comes here in a 1 p.m. game. You'll see live on KDKA. So that's going to help them a little bit, I would imagine. As far as the Commanders, I will pick the Steelers in this game. I think they're going to win it. I just think the rookie quarterback will have his share of issues with the Steeler defense. And it seems like Russell Wilson is making strides. Now, what I'd like to see more from him is throwing in the middle of the field. Again, the Steeler offense is predicated on sideline throws mostly, even no matter which quarterback you had in there. So I think that's important for them to start using the middle of the field a little bit more. Maybe Mike Williams can be that guy. Let's go out to KP in the car right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up, KP?
Hey, Bob. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to add my two cents on the Steelers. As far as tomorrow goes, I mean, I do think tomorrow is a very winnable game. I understand that Washington is 7-2, and that's a good resume for itself. But I just think that with Jaden Daniels being a rookie who seems to be overconfident, this is the perfect game for Mike Tomlin and his defense to show him what the NFL is really about. As far as Baltimore and Cincinnati, I mean, AFC North football is very, very unpredictable. I do know when both teams come here and also when we play them at their place, no team is going to score 30 points on our defense. This is not going to happen. If we keep Cincinnati and Baltimore both below 30, we're going to beat them both each time. I do see us dropping at least one or two division games, but to whom, I'm unsure. It's the AFC North. I think for a long-term prognosis, I think the Steelers will win about 11, 12 games, and I do see us going to the AFC title game. That's it.
All right. KP, you're very optimistic. Good point of view. I don't know about 12 wins. I think it's going to be tougher on them. I do. I think you're going to see some games that you're not going to like along the way. That's just the nature of the National Football League. But these division games will tell a large story for the Steelers in this season. If they can win tomorrow and get to 7-2, again, build up more insulation on their record against future losses, that would be huge. They'd go into the game next week with a one-game lead over the Ravens. And if you win, you're two ahead of them. And Cincinnati is probably fading out of the picture altogether. So those head-to-head battles will matter. But Lamar, I got to tell you, Lamar Jackson has been so impressive. And he was again the other night. And I realize, as I said, Cincinnati's defense sometimes can leave a lot out there. And they did in this game. Four more touchdown passes. Burrow was just as good. But Lamar Jackson's on pace to win another MVP. I don't know how else you can exclude him from that conversation at this point. He's running the ball more prudently. Not as much, but more prudently. He made a play the other night, which was incredible. It was second and eight or third and eight, whatever it was, and he drifted back 25 yards, and then almost got in for a touchdown. He just meandered his way all the way near the end zone, and they eventually scored on that. What a game-changing play. But he's been efficient with the football. He's been really good in the pocket, the best version of Lamar Jackson I think I've seen since he's come into the league, and it's just the maturity of being in that position. They have a run game that can be very effective. Their defense has problems, as I said. I think the Steeler offense can score some points against them, but the question will be how limited can the Steeler defense make the Ravens? Now, we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about that game. They got to focus on this game first against Washington. It won't be easy. I think at the beginning of the season, most people looked at that game and chalked it up as a win because you were unknown about Jaden Daniels. You were unknown about Dan Quinn coming back as a head coach and what he was going to be able to do after leaving Dallas. The one thing about his teams, I will say, his defenses get better in time. Down in Dallas as their defensive coordinator, when he got there, they were ranked 23rd defensively, year two, 14th, and then 9th this past year before he got hired. And he's done the same here in a very limited amount of time in 9 games in Washington. They started really badly. They're still bad at times, but they've improved each of their numbers. So this is a defense that seems to be getting better. Now, they've lost one of their best players in Allen on the defensive line. He's out for the year and has been. But they found people who can step up and play. So it's going to be a good test for the Steelers. It should be a great game. You'll see it on KDK TV. And we have postgame afterwards on KDK Plus for 2 hours. So join us for that. In the meantime, Greg in Youngstown is joining us live right now on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
You know, when I look at the rest of the schedule, there's a couple games I think we're going to definitely lose. That's Cincy and Cincy. I think we're not going to win that game. And I don't think we're going to beat the Eagles. We could beat the Chiefs. The team I'm afraid of in the AFC is Buffalo. Josh Allen is so tough. He's like the quarterback of Cincinnati. Mahomes, yeah, he's good. He's great. But those two guys really scare me. And I think we can win the rest of the game. We can lose. We'll lose to Cincinnati. We'll lose to Philadelphia. We still have the chance to sweep the Ravens because their defense stinks. We better sweep the Browns because they stink. And I think we have a chance against Kansas City at home on Christmas. But these teams are afraid of us, too. It's not like we're afraid of them. They're afraid of our team, too, with Wilson at quarterback.
No, I agree. I think Russell Wilson takes it to a different level. A more professional quarterback who uses his experience to help him out in certain times of the game. So I think and we'll see how that develops as we go forward. I think you're going to have, Greg, you're right, they're going to be teams they can beat. I think they can beat Kansas City. Kansas City, one thing about them, they have been not that impressive in the way they normally play, but they know how to win. They've won every game. And they will be problematic at Arrowhead in the playoffs. There's no question. Buffalo, I agree with you, because I've said the same thing. You brought in Amari Cooper to help a wide receiving core that has some pretty good playmakers there already. In Shakir, in Coleman, who's a rookie but improving, and then you got two of the best tight ends going at it, and a good run game. They have a very good offense, and their defense is more than capable of shutting you down when necessary. So that's a good football team. As far as their schedule, I wouldn't. You made it sound like Cleveland's going to be easy. Ask Baltimore if Cleveland's going to be easy. You go to Cleveland on a Thursday night. I know they stink. That doesn't mean they can't beat the Steelers on a Thursday night.
Yeah, but it's every team in football. I mean, every team could beat you at a given day. But I've watched the Cleveland Browns play this year because I get the games, too, in Youngstown. They're not good. Well, the quarterback throws a zillion interceptions. The defense lost another player that was traded. They're not a good team. They're not. And they don't have any weapons on the outside. Chubb's not the same running back. If we can't sweep them, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
I don't disagree with anything you said, and I don't think they're a good team. But I also know what a team can do on a certain given night. And those are games, especially because it's a short week coming off a big emotional game. I don't know that that's, it's one of those trick games, but potentially that they don't play the way they're capable of playing and they feed into what Cleveland is doing. So it's going to be interesting. I think so if you're looking at the final schedule, how many wins, you think there are 11 wins based on what you're saying?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I don't see why we can't get 11 wins.
Yeah, I think that's probably the low water mark. I think it could be better than that. I don't know that it could get worse than that, though.
I don't think we're going to beat Cincinnati and Cincinnati, though. Burroughs is the best quarterback in football, too. Him and Josh Allen, they're better than Mahomes.
I don't know about that.
They're better. They're better. They're one-man weapons. I mean, just the way they play. Burroughs is the best passer in football. And Josh Allen is the best overall quarterback in football. The way he runs, he can throw, all facets of the game. Mahomes is tough because they have that coach, too. Mahomes is great, but he's not as good as those two guys. He's just not.
All right, Greg, thanks. Until somebody knocks him off, I'm going to disagree with that. I think Jackson's emerging in that direction as well. I think he's a guy who's going to be heard from in terms of postseason. He has no success in postseason games. This could be a year he turns that around. We'll see. Rick in Canonsburg is up next right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Pompeiani's. You love the show, Bob.
Appreciate that, Rick. Thank you.
Hey, Bob, I just have a quick question in regards to this whole Mike Williams thing. It seems like it's been kind of slim pickings with this pickup, and I think the guy at New York alluded to it on the Starkey Show this week. I just want to understand why they did not address the DeAndre Hopkins thing when it just seemed like there's a lot more value and essentially the same draft capital.
I think that's a good call. Rick, I don't know the answer to that other than they may not have liked the player as much as others. But for a fifth-round pick, my goodness, if you're going to ask me who I'd rather have, it would be Hopkins. But I think Mike Williams still has some football left. Again, they had to do something. They had to address depth in that position room, and they did. I would have preferred that. Hopkins has made an immediate impact already on Kansas City, and it helps having Mahomes as your quarterback there. But, in the last game they played, I think he had 8 receptions, 2 touchdowns, whatever the case was. That's how you make a difference. And he has the history, not unlike what Russell Wilson. Their attractivity to Russell Wilson was because he has experience. He's a 9-time Pro Bowler, all this stuff that he's done. Well, Hopkins is the same kind of guy. Williams has one, but not as impressive as Hopkins. So all things being equal, I would have preferred Hopkins too, but they didn't do it, and they must have thought he wasn't as good as others thought he could be at this point.
Well, that leads to the main question. Why didn't Omar just stack the box this year, now that everything's looking pretty positive as far as wide receiver talent? Like, why are we not going and swinging for the fences?
Well, maybe he tried. Again, you talk to different people who say they were in the conversation with a lot of these receivers, and it came down to price and money. And maybe they felt that was just not the way to go. Again, I'm not going to rule out Mike Williams as being somebody who could affect this team. I think he can have a positive influence on it. He's had a resume. He's been big when he's needed to be big, especially for the Chargers, not so much in New York. But we'll see how this goes. But they got to stay healthy, number one. George Pickens is the main man, and they got to utilize, as they have under Russell Wilson, more Calvin Austin, more Van Jefferson, more Pat Freiermuth, more Darnell Washington. These are their guys there they can use to augment their offense, and I think that's the plan going forward, and Williams will help there. I don't know if he'll be as good as Hopkins, but he will help.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, Rick. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370 is the number. We're due for a break. Want to remind you once again, thank you to our sponsors. Number one, Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Check out the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night. We'll be talking about the Steelers and Washington on that program. 11:35 p.m. is the start time on KDKA-TV. We'll come back with more of your calls right here. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on another beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Be sure to join us tonight, 11:35 KDK-TV. It's the Mike Tomlin Show, brought to you by 84 Lumber. Tomorrow morning, 11:30 in the morning, we begin with our BetMGM Steelers kickoff program. Charlie Batch alongside with Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac will get you set for the Steelers and Commanders at 1. 2 hours after the game on KDK+. Plus, it is the postgame show, brought to you by Ford. And Chris Hoke and I will take your calls after the game. We'll get your feelings for what the Steelers did on that day. And largely looking forward, where do you think they're going to end up? That's all tomorrow on KDK-TV. In the meantime, I want to thank our sponsors again. Number one, Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway, Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Senderovich, Senderovich and Fishman. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. So Pitt and Virginia tonight, we'll get you set on that game, 5 o'clock. Doran Dickerson joins me live over at Acrisure Stadium, and Seth Davis will be there manning that show as well, so he's putting in a yeoman's day. You have two teams looking to lick their wounds, Pitt and Penn State. Penn State lost a game that, to me, they had every opportunity to win against Ohio State. It's a bugaboo for them that's been going on for years and years and years as James Franklin has dropped to 1-10. Now they're in a position where they're still available here and they're still ranked and they're still in the 12-team college football playoff. But they got to win out, I would think, to make sure they do that, because you can make a case that four teams from the Big Ten will get in this field of 12. But then you wonder about ACC and Pitt, which is also coming off a really bad loss, I thought, to SMU. It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to not be in the game. And they only had 3 points heading into the fourth quarter. The final score was not indicative of how bad that game was. 44-25. It was once 44-11 or 48-11, whatever the case was. Pitt has to rebound, but this is a tough game for them because it's against a Virginia Cavalier team that has had some good games. They're 4-4 overall, but they gave Louisville all they can handle. They were in their game against Clemson until late. So if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And if you let them be in the game or take over a game, and it falls between SMU and Clemson, which is always a trick game and a tough game for a team to rebound. So, but if Pitt should do their thing, if you look at where they are in this 12-team playoff, they are currently 18th, which makes it interesting because they're still ranked ahead of Louisville and Clemson, which is interesting to me because in the regular polls, they're not ranked ahead of those teams. But in this college football playoff, they are. So for this moment, and we'll change this and adjust it as the season goes on, but the four teams that will get a first-round bye are four conference winners. One, Oregon, how did I say that? Oregon, the Ducks from the Big Ten. Two, Georgia. Three, Miami, assuming they win the ACC. These are all assumptions. And four, BYU. Now, BYU is the fourth-ranked team and a first-round bye, even though they're ranked ninth in the college football playoff. But again, if you win a conference, you get a first-round bye. Then you have, in the first round, these are games to be played on the site of the team which has a better record and seeding. Boise State would be at Ohio State. That would be one of the first games. Indiana will be at Tennessee. That's an 8-9 matchup. Alabama at 11 will take on Texas, number 6. That's a great game. Notre Dame, 10, versus number 7 Penn State. That game would be at Happy Valley. And again, it's predicated on them getting in. And for them, after that loss, they better win out to do it. And then the winners advance after that. But again, if you see Pitt, if they should win, they got two tough games coming up. Actually, they're all tough, but ranked teams, Louisville and Clemson, if they win the next four games, and going to BC will not be easy, by the way. And I believe Virginia beat Boston College earlier, if I'm not mistaken. So, you can put yourself there. They're currently ranked 18th, again, ahead of Clemson and Louisville. They could move themselves up because other teams will fall, and they could end up being one of these ACC teams in there, but they got to win out. SMU looks like they could win the whole thing, actually, to me. But you could bet that SMU and Miami will both be in there. How many more teams after that? Or will Pitt or somebody else replace one of those two teams? At 412-928-9370. Want to get the Penguin conversation going as well, but before we do that, let's get out to the counselor in the car on line one. Hello, counselor.
Hi, Bob. Listen, a couple of comments. On the Penguins, I hate to say this, I'm willing to put up with getting into the top 10 somehow in the lottery to get a pick because they need, I don't see anything in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton minor leagues that's going to make a big difference in their winning. The other thing is on the Steelers, I think they can go 11-7. Which would get them into the playoffs and win a
11-6.
First run. 11-6, I'm sorry. 11-6.
Sooner
and then
or later,
get them
there'll be 18
round.
Games, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, but they can get. I think they can win a first-round game, too. I think they'll have enough offense with Russell Wilson being the passing threat.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I think they're to me, getting in the playoffs would be expected. Also expected is winning a playoff game because they haven't done it in so long. That would be an expectation of what they have here, and that's one of the reasons why, you can say what you want. If this pans out the way it's heading, they did a very smart thing in getting rid of what they had and bringing in both Fields and Wilson. I didn't think at the time. I thought it was a little bit of a reach, but so far makes me think like they did the right stuff.
Yeah, I see that. My last comment, and I'm because I'm a diehard baseball fan, I'm just, how do I say this? Hoping for a miracle because the only way I see them doing something by getting in the playoffs is they've got to spend about 25 to 30 million on bats. And it can't be just a $5 million, purchase. It's got to be at least two bats, and you're going to be paying 15 plus per each of them.
I agree. I've been saying the same thing, Counselor. And thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. 412-928-9370. They have a pitching staff, which will be the envy of a lot of teams, I think, with starters. No question about it. And while they're here, and specifically Skeens, while he's here, they have to do everything in their power to upgrade every offensive position they can. And that means spending money. And that means not being afraid to spend money. And that means doing it without nitpicking around with a bunch of $2 million and $4 million players. I want them to think aggressively. The question, will this ever happen? We talk about it. It's the same old theme every single year. What will they do? How will they address it? What will they spend? How much are they going to spend? To me, they can spend Juan Soto money if they wanted to, but they won't. They could. Sure, they could. They could bring in a $50 million a year player right now, and their payroll would still be in the middle of the pack. That's a choice you make. There are no rules. You can spend as much or as little as you want. So to me, I want to see bats. I want to see, and they have some guys in their system who are promising to me, but they need to augment them now while Paul Skeens is here. Because if you want to believe that they're never going to spend on bats, you can make no mistake that they will never spend on Paul Skeens. Never. Not as much as it will cost them if this continues. So while he's here, make sure you do what you can do to bring out the best in this team and get them in a position. It's doable if you do it the right way. And that starts with the owner saying, let's go. I'm going to unleash the handcuffs on you, Ben Cherington. You can do as you please, and you will be judged accordingly in this next year. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Back to the Penguins. We haven't spent a lot of time on them, but I do want to because I find this season so far very disappointing. I expected much more. And they got a nice bounce-back win. I'll say that. Back-to-back games not easy for them, especially as an old team, older team. Capitals have some age on them as well. But the Penguins withstood that and won a game after losing at Carolina. Now, Carolina's the class of this division so far. There are a lot of good teams. The Penguins are going to have to dig out, and they're going to have to start accumulating points quickly, which leads me to Tristan Jarry. He's 4-0 with a 169 goals against, a 941 save percentage down there at Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. So whatever's changing now for him has to manifest itself up here, and they need him to be the kind of goaltender he's supposed to be. I've said before, and I will say it again, they're not going to just throw him aside and say, that's it, it's failed, we gave him all this money, we're moving on. No, you can't. They won't. They're not going to do that. So they have to figure this out, and he has to be central to this. And not only that, I'll say this in front of any goaltender, your workmanship on team defense has been terrible. They have to get better with how they play the game. It seems like it's a theme we talk about all the time. Penguins are too sloppy, giving the puck away, pinching at the wrong time. It's okay to pinch if you do it the right way, and if you don't, you're going to open up 3-on-2s, 2-on-1s, and make your life very difficult for a goaltender. So all of this has to take place. The power play has still not been at a level I think it needs to get to, and these are keys for a team like the Penguins. I still believe if they somehow should get into a postseason with the team they have and the experience they have, they could be a problem for a team. I really believe that. Erik Karlsson has been disappointing, and that may be too kind of a word. He's not been good. He needs to be better. Ryan Graves has to be better. These guys I expected in year two to be better. So far, they are not. Doc joins us right now on line one. Hey, Doc, what's going on?
Good morning, Bob. Not much. Getting ready for all the action over the weekend, but I wanted to call up and make a comment. My feelings about next year's Pirates. On next year's Pirates, if they don't get a new manager and a new coaching staff, they're not going to any playoffs. That's what's missing. They got the team with that good pitching, if he keeps this manager, they're not going to make it. That's about all I have to say. Enjoy the game.
Thank you, Doc, and I hope you're doing well, man. I appreciate you getting back in touch with me and wish you well. They're not going to do that. They've pretty much made that clear. So, and I don't agree with you that they have the team. They have the pitching. They don't have the team. They have to figure out ways to increase run production. So you're not going to be doing that. You can't do that in 1 year based on people you have in the minors. You're going to have to go out and bring it in. So hopefully they can bring it in. They need to do that. But I want to hear what all you have to say about the Steelers, about Pitt, Penn State. Also, the Penguins, who are now 6-8-2, this college football playoff, do you think either Pitt or Penn State will be in there? Currently, Penn State is as the seventh. Will they stay? Or will James Franklin do what he always does? And that beats everybody he's favored to beat, which if you look at their schedule, Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland, they can win all those games. And if they do, they're in. If they don't, they won't be. 412-928-9370 is the number. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. I'm going to read some of those tweets coming at you next. It is the Bob Pompeiani Show at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back with Seth Davis behind the glass. Bob Pompiani here with you until 1 o'clock at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on X or Twitter. It's at KD Pomp, as Presto, Matt Presto, has done. His comment is, don't know if it's wishful thinking, but I think somewhat better about the gauntlet of a Steelers schedule remaining. I don't think people thought Cleveland would be this bad, and there are some very porous defenses that they face. That's true, and if they stay healthy, you would think 11 wins is not out of the question. Sean at 895-533-334 on Twitter says, Baltimore may lose in the playoffs again if they don't button up their defense. Well, if they do, it's going to be because of their defense. There's no question. Although Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, when he's gotten there, has not been as good as he was during the regular season. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to take that. They're facing similar pressure to the Steelers about winning in the playoffs. Bogey B says, Steeler fans feel like this is our year. Well, probably Steeler fans feel that way every year, even though this year is a little bit different, I think. So we'll see how that goes. But we have Matt Zigarelli says, Bob, I've got the Steelers winning this game 27-20. Russ will cook up a few moon balls to Pickens and Williams. Really looking forward to Preston Smith off the edge. Yeah, they acquired some good depth pieces, veteran pieces. They're older. They've been around. And it should help them depth-wise going down the point. Thank you, Matt, for that. You can hit me up at KD Pomp. In the meantime, I want to tell you this about Penn State, because coming out of that Ohio State game, these are concerning things for them. They're 1-23 against top five teams since the year 2000. Think about that. This leads to that conversation about James Franklin every year. Some fans want to get him out of there, even though the run of success as far as the program is good. I mean, he's turned them into a perennial top 10, top 15, sometimes top five team. But these numbers are what haunts him. 1-23 against top five teams since 2000. 1-13 against top five teams under Franklin. Lost 11 straight of those. PSU, now with 8 of these games against Ohio State, lost 8 in a row, 1-10 overall. Again, when you get to this level, you have to at some point expect you got to take it to the next level. And last week was one of those opportunities where I thought they could have. But they had some calls that were interesting. The interception in the end zone by Ohio State on a ball that I thought was a touchdown right before halftime, that was significant. They got so conservative at the goal line when they were down there first and goal from the 2 or 3, and they couldn't punch it in. That was the determining part of that game. And what's worse is after that, I don't know if it's worse, but it's certainly as bad, is that they then allowed Ohio State from their own 1 yard line to control the ball for the rest of the game. They never got it back. And obviously, that is something that needs to change. They can't afford to do that in those kind of situations. They could have gotten the ball back after that if they had a 3 and out, but they didn't. And so Penn State loses another game to a team like Ohio State. And I thought Ryan Day, if he had lost, was going to be on the same sort of hot seat that oftentimes these coaches like Franklin find themselves in. So the question, if you're a Penn State fan, are you happy with this program being what it is? Or if not, tell me why not. And if it's strictly beating those elite teams, a lot of coaches have gone down this path. You know, Jim Harbaugh being the most recent and last one, couldn't beat Ohio State for a lot of years, and there was pressure on him to do it. He finally did. They won a national championship. He goes to the NFL. So what are your expectations for Penn State? Can they get in? And if they do get into this college football playoff, how much will it take for you to get off his back if you are on his back? In other words, win one game in the college football. Let's say it's as it is right now. It would be a 7-10 matchup at State College against Notre Dame. If they win that game, is that enough to satisfy your taste buds in Penn State? And as far as Pitt is concerned, what does it take for you to think that this would be a successful season? We have this debate all the time on, you know, radio, TV, whenever we're talking about sports debates. What is a successful season? And has your expectation of this team because of their 7-0 start taken you off the rails a little bit in terms of coming back to reality? 7-0, now 7-1. What will it take for you to say, well, this is a great season for Pitt? Winning out and not making the college football playoff, that would be 11-1? Or getting in there and winning a game? Or is it already successful by your, you know, coming off 3-9, I don't know that you could have expected much. I know I didn't expect this much. So for my expectation, it was successful already, but the expectation and the bar often moves. It goes up when you have more success. You're a victim of that success and that you have to continue to succeed. James Franklin's in that boat where, same thing, he's elevated the program to a level that it may be stuck at right now. If you change coaches and if you bring in somebody new, do you run the risk of having that program regress? And then you get to a point where you say, well, we should have kept James Franklin. 412-928-9370. These are all topical issues when it comes to college football as we go into this new era of college football playoff. And again, as it was right now set up, Notre Dame, this is from the College Football Selection Committee, Notre Dame would be at Penn State first round game. Pitt would be on the outside looking in. They're currently 18th. They need to get to 12. Can they do it if they win four straight? They have Virginia. They have number 19 Clemson. They have number 25 Louisville. They're both ranked ahead of those teams in the college football playoff. Not true, the regular ratings, but it is true. And then they end at Boston College, which can be a really trick game for them. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Now, the Penguins, they got Dallas coming up at home. The one thing I've noticed about the Penguins, and I'll not include Washington in this, even though they were 9-2 coming into that game last night. And I'm not putting them in there because I never thought of them as an elite team. The Penguins, every time they've been against a, quote, elite team, somebody who has, you know, faster approach, better overall talent, I think roster-wise, they've not shown up. Twice, now they've lost to Carolina, and they haven't been close, 9-2 being outscored in those games. They lost to the Rangers on opening night, 6-0. Can't have that. They go out west, they face a gauntlet of good teams in the west. They go 0-4 in that trip, and that includes Edmonton, Vancouver. Calgary's a playoff team, potentially. So, you know, every time they've been in that position, they have not delivered. They got Dallas. Dallas is a legitimate Stanley Cup contending team. This Monday night game is going to be another of those tests. And whether or not they can, you know, win a game like that and do it impressively. That's what I want to see from the Penguins. Do it a 60-minute effort. They go through streaks where they can dominate a game and end up somehow down 2-0. You know, they got to figure out ways to really put a bandage on some of these things that are happening with porous 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s. They give them up far too often, makes life tough on everyone. It results in a penalty, a goal, or putting your goaltending on high alert that they're going to come in with big chances. All of this stuff has been plaguing them, and it has to be cleaned up. I want to see a 60-minute complete game against a good team. They'll have that chance on Monday night. Back to the lines we go, including Chuck in Bridgeville. Chuck joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, wanted to talk about Penn State for a second. I think you framed it in an interesting way. I was thinking about it, and they're actually very similar to the Pirates, which is kind of crazy. A little bit different. They're much more successful in terms of record, but they're both kind of handicapped by how much the organizations make, right? Like the Pirates, they run a tight ship, and they make a ton of money. Penn State wins 10 games every year and makes a ton of money. But they're being, you know, held hostage by a coach that doesn't get them there in big games. And so to your point, it's like, do you get rid of them and set the program back a little bit and the university makes less money for 5 or so years? Or do you keep rolling out the same thing? The university rakes in a bunch of money. It keeps the boosters happy. You know, they get the big recruit, stuff like that. But you're never going to get over the top. And so as a Penn State fan, I would rather go through that pain for 5 years to get back and, you know, hopefully get a coach that can get you over the top. But I understand it from the university's perspective, right? It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but, okay, fine. You know, you say it takes 5 years. If it's going to take 5 years, there isn't. Then to me, there's no guarantee. I think whoever, if they want to make a change, Chuck, they have to do it with someone who wants to take it from where it is right now up to the next level. That would require a big-name coach to me. That would require somebody who is going to immediately have an impact on NIL, immediately who can change, you know, whatever roster positions that are deemed as deficient, mostly, you know, quarterback skill position. That's what I would want if I make a change. I wouldn't want to say to myself, okay, we may be going backwards. We're going to have to take some time. I don't think they want that. I don't think you would want that, would you? If you're going to do it, you want to change so that you can immediately make an impact on this college football playoff.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I think maybe 5 years was a little bit too long of a time horizon. You're right there. But, I mean, if the job opens up, you know, any of these up-and-coming coaches, the Penn State job is about as appealing as it can get. And so, you know, if you go through this Franklin song and dance for another 3 to 5 years, maybe that job doesn't look as good in 3 to 5 years and you can't get that coach that's going to immediately come in and make a difference. So it's a tough position to be in, but I think if you're going to make a change, do it while the value of that job is as high as possible so you can get that guy that makes a difference in the program in 2 years, you know?
So what, for this year, what would make you think that James Franklin should be retained? What would it take moving forward this year for him to have the feeling? And he's going to be retained. I don't think they're going to pay $58 million, whatever they have to pay him to get out of there.
No, 100%.
No, so but what would satisfy you as a fan?
I think you got to get into the playoff, and I think you got to at least win one game, right? And I think if it's a big game against Notre Dame, just show that you can be on a big stage like that and at least compete with these big dogs. I mean, say what you want about Notre Dame this year. They're pretty good. They're maybe not like an Ohio State caliber. But if you win at least one game, if you win two, that's fantastic. But you got to just prove these people wrong that you can beat these top five, top ten teams because your record stinks.
Yeah, I agree, and that's it. And if you don't do that, the pressure continues. I thought last week was there for the taking. That was a missed opportunity, and they may pay the price for that one. All right, Chuck, thanks, man. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Brian is in New Jersey right now. Hello, Brian, and now you're on the fan.
Ryan, Bob. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Said Brian here. Don't mean that.
No big deal. Keep the B. Actually, I just walked past the TV, and Livy Dunn is sitting next to Lee Corso on College Game Day.
And Paul Skeens are both prides of LSU on that one. I see it.
I see that. So last night, that third period was probably the best period of hockey that the Pens have played all year, I want to say. But, yeah, the second period was a disaster. So with the odd mans on Blomqvist. But what I was calling you about is first off, credit to the two old guys because – they don't have much of a team without Crosby, Malkin, and to a lesser extent, Raquel at this point. So, I mean, they're carrying them. I mean,
yeah,
at least
and that's fine if you put them all together, but they need more from the bottom nine.
Yeah.
You can't have just one line because sooner or later, that ain't going to work.
Second line is a huge problem if you're going to stack Malkin on the top, but whatever. So I see some rumblings from the normal reporters talking about since Jari's conditioning stint has to end, I think it's tomorrow they have to bring him back up,
mm-hmm.
something like that. You know, if they're going, like, I've called you, what, four times we've talked about Jari?
Yeah.
If they're going to send the kid down, because he's their best goalie by far, I mean, it's not even close. If they're going to send him down or they're going to carry three goalies, they're going to have to carry three goalies. They're going to say, I can't see them sending Blomqvist down, but they will. I don't know, you're swirling the bowl if you're trusting Jari's going to all of a sudden figure it out between his ears. So,
whether or not he does or doesn't, Ryan, don't you think that it's imperative that he does? I mean, you can sit here. You know, so you think he's done, period. You don't think he'll ever regain the form he once had?
I think they should play him this year and get him in there. I wouldn't put him in any high leverage games and just try to get it to the summer when they can trade and retain or buy out. I mean, he was drafted, if I remember correctly, it wasn't Matt Murray, you know. It was Jari was the one that they thought had the talent to mm-hmm. replace for a long term. So
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.